जय राधमाधव कुंज बिहारे,
The following is a class by His Holiness Gopala Krishna Goswami Maharaj on the occasion of the Divine Disappearance Day of Sri Sanatan Goswami, delivered on 29th of July 2015.
Gopi jana bala bhai Jwala dhari Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
Hare Krishna. Today is a very significant day. You don't know why, Radhavani. So today is Guruvedic calendar Guru Purnima, and the disappearance day of a great sage. I was going to speak, I have been speaking on the 50th anniversary of Prabhupada's departure from India. As some of you will know, this year we are celebrating the golden jubilee of Prabhupada's departure from India. And I think this discussion fits in very well. Actually, it's Guru Purnima also. And so we'll speak about these different topics briefly. So Guru Purnima is also known as Vyas Purnima. And that's the day the Vyasadeva appeared on the planet. Vyasadeva is the original Guru. And Vyasadeva is supposed to be an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. His father was Parashurmuni, mother was Satyavati. The Vyasadeva gave us this vast Vedic knowledge, originally combined one Veda. Then he entrusted this task to his disciples and divided it into four. The Vyasadeva had compiled this vast Vedic literature. But in spite of having compiled the vast Vedic literature, Vyasadeva was still feeling that there's some vacuum in his efforts. There's something that he hasn't done, he should have done. And he was meditating. Why is he feeling despondent? Why is he not being totally satisfied? He was on the banks of the river Saraswati. And as he was meditating, his Guru Narada Muni walked in. Narada Muni is also known as Trikalagya, one of the past, present, and future. And Narada Muni always shows up at the right time and the right place. And Narada Muni showed up and said, "Yes, you are feeling misfallen because you have not exclusively presented the path of pure devotional service." In the other Vedic compilations, Vyasadeva no doubt gave knowledge about the Lord, but there was also reference to karmakanda activities. And Narada Muni pointed out that unless one takes to pure devotional service, he cannot achieve love of God. So Vyasadeva then combined the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is described to be the ripened fruit of Vedic knowledge. How many of you have Srimad Bhagavatam sets at home? Last time we were doing a program in Detroit, and we distributed 6 sets to those who didn't have the sets. So then he gave us the Srimad Bhagavatam, the ripened fruit of Vedic knowledge. And Vyasadeva dictated the Mahabharata to Ganesh, and he gave him his Vyasvedic learning. So on this day, it's a tradition in India, in many sampradayas, that they also celebrate the birthday of their guru, the guru's birthday. They celebrate it also on Guru Purnima, which is also known as Vyasa Purnima. But in our Islam society, we observe Guru Purnima for the actual day of the appearance. So Prabhupada is a unique guru who is empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to fulfill his instruction and predictions. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had predicted that the holy name will be chanted in every town and village of the world. And our acharyas were making an endeavor to realize this prediction. Prabhupada sailed from India on August 13, 1965, and he landed in Boston on September 17, 1965, almost 50 years ago, and in New York on September 19th. So we'll briefly explain to you today the background against which Prabhupada sailed for America. Prabhupada, as some of you may know, was born in a very pious religious family. His father was Gormande, a middle-class cloth merchant. And somebody was very hospitable to sadhus. His father would regularly receive sadhus at home. And when these sadhus would be leaving, thanking Gurumande for his hospitality, all he would ask in exchange, "Please bless my son so that he becomes a great devotee of Radharani." And Prabhupada's father wanted Prabhupada to become a great devotee. So at a young age, he trained him up in mridanga playing, Sanskrit, and other Vedic messages. Even when Prabhupada was very young, he was living in Calcutta. He was born in Calcutta. He would be very interested and going to Vrindavan and Jagannath Puri. So he would regularly go to the railway station to find out where is the next train going to Puri and Mathura. At a young age, Prabhupada started organizing Ratyatras. And the Ratyatra he would organize. The chariot was an exact duplicate of the chariot in Jagannath Puri. And this Ratyatra became so popular that Prabhupada's father's friend would say, "Lord, one day you organized a Ratyatra and you did not call us." Then Lord, one day would say, "This is a Ratyatra for children, organized by my son." One day in 1921, one of Prabhupada's acquaintances or friend told Prabhupada, "There's a very special sadhu residing in Calcutta. Please come and meet him." Prabhupada said, "I have seen so many sadhus. I am not so attracted by them. I am not so impressed by them." But his friend said, "This sadhu is special. He's not like the others. Please come and meet him." So Prabhupada went and met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was a great acharya. Prior to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his father Thakur Bhakti Vinod, who described as the mercy incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has succeeded in re-establishing the pure teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's departure, his teachings had fallen in the wrong hands, in the hands of the Sahaja. And when Thakur Bhakti Vinod, who re-established the pure teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he wrote nearly 100 books in English, Oriya, Bengali, many of the bhajans that we sing were all composed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. During the British rule, he was holding the position of a district magistrate. This was the highest position an Indian could hold during the British rule. And he wrote a book on the life of Lord Chaitanya, and he sent the universities around the world. So, and he had prayed, if please will the Lord send someone who can carry forward the movement after his departure. And in response to this prayer, the Lord sent whom? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is described as a ray of Vishnu, and he was a pioneer, a bold preacher. He was called the Singha Guru Guru, the Lion Guru. He was so strong in his preaching, especially against the impersonal, that they would know if he was walking the left side of the road, they would cross over to the right side. So Bhaktisiddhanta ji was endeavoring to fulfill Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction, which was, what was it? Prithivityati jatamagradigana sarvana pracharavimunana. In every town and village of the world, the holy name will be chanted. Bhaktisiddhanta ji had sent some sannyasis to England and Germany, but they came back without much success. So when Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta ji, Bhaktisiddhanta ji, the first meeting you see, he is a young man who will fulfill Lord Chaitanya's prediction. And in the very first meeting, Bhaktisiddhanta ji said, you are educated young man, why don't you take these teachings of Lord Chaitanya to the Western countries? Prabhupada said, who will listen to our message? We should first make our country, India, independent, and then people will listen. Bhaktisiddhanta ji convinced him that real independence is independence from the cycle of birth and death, and not political independence or economic independence. Prabhupada took his guru's instruction to heart, even though he had just met him once. Prabhupada started meditating. At that time, Prabhupada was very involved in Mahatma Gandhi's freedom movement. And Prabhupada was just meditating. How can I carry out Bhaktisiddhanta ji's order? Prabhupada at that time was in the house of the Rashtra, living in different cities. In 1935, in 1932, Bhaktisiddhanta ji was taking thousands of devotees with him on Braj Mandal Parikram. And Prabhupada met him in Radhakund. And in Radhakund, Bhaktisiddhanta ji drew a picture of a mridanga and told Prabhupada, if Krishna gives you the facility, print and distribute books. And what is this activity called? Of printing and distributing books? What's it called? What's it called? Brihad Mridanga. You know what's a mridanga? You know what it is? What's the meaning of Brihad? Big mridanga. In order to live as sound, we can only travel to a point. But a book that is written in one city can be read thousands of miles away. There's so many examples of somebody got a book in London, became a devotee in Moscow. Somebody got a book in Australia, became a devotee in India. So Bhakti Siddhanta gave him that encouragement. And in 1936, just before his departure, he again wrote to Prabhupada in response to Prabhupada's prayer letter. "You're an educated young man, take these teachings to the West." So Prabhupada had this in mind. In 1944, he started the Back to Godhead magazine. Prabhupada was a one-man army, writing the books, writing the articles, getting them printed and then distributed. And then Prabhupada started his preaching in India. He established a League of Devotees. But his meditation was, how can I go to the West? Not to make money, but for the Lord's instruction. So Prabhupada then moved to Vrindavan, when he resided at the Radha Nama temple, and he started his Srimad Bhagavatam translation. Prabhupada published the first canto in 3 volumes before he went to the West. After the first canto was printed, Prabhupada said, "Now I can go to the West. I have some ammunition with me." Prabhupada was a one-man army. He would collect the Lakshmi for printing. He was translating the books in another temple in a small manual typewriter. No one to help him. He would regularly come to Delhi by third-class train, third-class compartment, to collect money, get his books printed, and then distribute books. So Prabhupada had a friend in Delhi, like Mathura, whose name was Mr. Agarwal. And this Mr. Agarwal had a son who lived in Butler, Pennsylvania. And Prabhupada met this Agarwal by chance and told him, "I want to go to America to spread Lord Chaitanya's message. Why don't you get your son to give me a letter of sponsorship?" Because those days, getting out of India was not as easy as today, and there was a lot of formality. So Mr. Prabhupada didn't expect Agarwal to take it seriously. Agarwal took it so seriously, he wrote his son, "I want A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami to come to America. Please help him. Give him a letter of sponsorship." Within 3 months, the letter of sponsorship was arranged. The Indian consulate in New York certified that Mr. Agarwal is capable of supporting Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was very concerned now how to get the other formalities. He got the invitation. As a result, he got his passport. He got all the necessary permissions. But then there was one obstacle. What was that one obstacle?
Transportation.
How to travel from India to the West? Prabhupada approached him with his friends. Friend means acquaintances, businessmen. Swamiji, that is too much money. We can't go. Someone told Prabhupada that there is a pious lady called Srimati Maharaji. She had assisted Prabhupada earlier in printing first canto part 2. She had paid for it. And someone told Prabhupada, "This lady owns a company that has ships going. Why don't you approach her?" Prabhupada thought this was a good idea. He came to Bombay. He went to meet Srimati Maharaji. But his secretary would not let him meet him.
finally Prabhupada managed to get an audience with Mrs. Choksi, Mrs. Maharaji. Prabhupada said, my spiritual master ordered me to take these teachings to the West. So please help me. I want a passage to America. He said, Swamiji, you are 69 years old. You don't know anyone in America. At this age you'll go, you'll die. You better stay in India and complete your Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada, no, I must go. Even before Prabhupada came to the West, he used to meditate that he's in New York preaching. So when Srimad Gurjani saw that Prabhupada was so determined to go and that he could not be discouraged, she said, okay, Swamiji, I will give you a ticket. I'll give you a complimentary ticket on a cargo ship. You know what a cargo ship is? What's a cargo ship? It carries only cargo. No passengers. So we're on a cargo ship, and in that cargo ship called the, what was the name? Jalagurta. There was only one compartment for a passenger. And the captain of the ship was one Mr. Pandya. And his wife was also traveling on the ship. Prabhupada had great respect for his wife's intelligence. And Srimati Maharaji arranged for Prabhupada to be looked after nicely. She was very kind. She gave money to buy more clothes for Prabhupada. She gave to the captain to take extra cereals. And she facilitated Prabhupada's trip. Before sailing, Prabhupada went to Mayapur, offered obeisances to his spiritual master Samadhi, took his blessings, and then came to Calcutta. Before going, he printed a small booklet, India's Message of Peace and Goodwill. And he talked about the 60 volume Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he sailed from Calcutta, he took with him 200 sets of the first canto of Bhagavatam. He didn't take it with him. He had a ship on a cargo ship. And Prabhupada finally, on August 13, 1965, sailed from where? Calcutta, for America. His journey to America was full of adventure. On the 13th day of Prabhupada's voyage on the ship, he got a heart attack, two heart attacks. And Prabhupada thought, my mission will not be successful. I should go back to India. So he was feeling a little discouraged. Then Prabhupada had a dream. In that dream, Lord Krishna and his incarnations were pulling the ship, the boat. And who was the passenger in the boat? Prabhupada. And the Lord said, don't worry, your mission will be successful. And that dream gave Prabhupada great confidence. Normally the ocean, Atlantic Ocean, is very, very rough. The captain of the ship said, Swamiji, the sea has never been more smooth. You should come with us on all our trips. Because normally it's very rough. And when the sea is rough, people vomit on the ship. But it was so smooth that the captain felt great relief. So Prabhupada finally then arrived in Boston. When he arrived in Boston on September 17, 1965, the captain of the ship took him to visit Boston. And when they were visiting, Prabhupada could see how deeply addicted the Americans were to sense enjoyment. And he began to wonder, who is going to listen to our message? Who is going to listen to the pure message of bhakti? People are so addicted to sense enjoyment. But then he had confidence, he said. But if Radhani so desired, then people will listen to the message. And when Radhani's mercy, the impossible can happen. So Prabhupada arrived in New York in 1965, September 19th, was received at the port by a representative of Mr. Agarwal. He went to Butler, Pennsylvania for a few weeks, and then he came to New York to launch his preaching movement. Prabhupada, for the first year that Prabhupada was in America, he literally had to struggle. He was staying with strange people. He had no choice. He was ready to open a temple in Bowery. Bowery is a place in New York where the drunkards hang around. And finally, he opened a temple on 2nd Avenue. That temple, the location where the temple was, at one time it was a boutique. And the boutique was called Matchless Gifts. Somebody vacated it. We didn't quite take it down. And then the first ISKCON temple was open. Many Swamis were there who approached Prabhupada and said, Swami, on you to America, what you're preaching, nobody will accept. So you should also dress up like us in suits and stop wearing the kurta, etc. Prabhupada refused to compromise. And the first ISKCON temple was opened in New York. And then Prabhupada established ISKCON in July 30, 1966. So this year we are celebrating all over the world the Golden Jubilee of Prabhupada's departure from India. So Prabhupada was a pure devotee who gave us a pure message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He translated nearly 100 books, which have been translated in over 70 languages of the world. He opened centers in every corner of the globe. He first opened centers in North America, Canada, Europe. And then he was meditating on the Iron Curtain. You know what is the Iron Curtain, what it was?
Not sure.
The Iron Curtain was countries which had communist governments, Soviet Union, East Germany, Poland, Hungary, Romania. So he saw, he was meditating on those countries, how Krishna consciousness had been spread. He took a great risk and went to the former Soviet Union. But slowly, slowly, by his courage, Krishna consciousness got established everywhere. Today his books have been translated in over 70 languages of the world. There are ISKCON centers in virtually every corner of the globe. And in every corner people are chanting and reading these books. So Prabhupada was a pure devotee who appeared to fulfill Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction that the holy name would be chanted in every town and village of the world. Once Prabhupada was giving a press conference in America. Those days, America was at the height of its glory, and India was at the bottom of its glory. and there was one American journalist. He was interviewing Prabhupada. He said, "Swamiji, you come from a poor country. We are the richest country in the world. What message are you going to give us?" Prabhupada said, "You may be the richest country. I may be from the poorest country. But one thing is common to both." The man was really curious what could be common between rich America and poor India. Prabhupada said, "The death rate in both the countries is 100%. So the person had never replied. So Prabhupada gave this Krishna conscious philosophy. He gave the pure summary of Vyasadeva's teachings. He translated the Bhagavatam. And for the first time, the whole world could get the ancient Vedic text that was compiled by Vyasadeva and elaborated and presented by Prabhupada for the benefit of humanity. These books present timeless wisdom. We should read these books and distribute these books for the benefit of humanity." So I thought we would mention a bit about Guru Purnima and Prabhupada's endeavor to establish ISKCON. And it was 50 years ago that Prabhupada came from India. Today is also the disappearance day of a great sage whose name was Nāda Goswami. You all heard the word Goswami? Yes? No?
Yes.
Oh, he's nobody replied.
Yes.
Have you heard, you know what I'm going? Have you heard Goswami?
Master of the Samsa.
Goswami today has become a caste. Goswami, Swami, Mahajan. Goswami means one has control over his mind, body and senses. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nayanaya, Radha Krishna appears, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when the Lord appears, his eternal devotees also appear. And amongst the eternal devotees were the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. These six Goswamis of Vrindavan were very elevated souls. And one of them was Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami was the older brother of Rupa Goswami and Anupam. And he was a scholar from a young age. 500 years ago, or 525 years ago, the richest kingdom in the world, or the richest country in the world, was not America. It was?
India.
There was no America at that time, isn't it? America is only 300 years old. And the richest part of India was the kingdom of Bengal. And Bengal had a king called Nawab Hussein Shah. This Nawab Hussein Shah was originally an ordinary person, but by manipulation he occupied the king, he became the king. At that time, majority of the population was Hindu, 99.9%. And there was only a tiny Mohammedan population. The king was a good diplomat. He did a research in society as to who could lead his administration. And he discovered that these brothers, Rupa, Sanatana, Anupam, they are very much respected in society by everyone. So he approached them. Initially, they were not interested in doing service for the king. But then he threatened them, "You have to do this service, otherwise I'll destroy the Hindu temple." And then these brothers were obliged to work. They were working for the king, but their heart was always meditating, how can we go and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in serving the Supreme Lord? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as I just explained, is none else but the incarnation of Godhead. Rupa Goswami, we devotees are also known as Rupa Nugas. Why are we known as Rupa Nugas? Who knows?
Followers of Rupa Goswami?
Because they are followers of Rupa Goswami's teachings. Rupa Goswami gave us many wonderful books. Many, many, many. And Sri Prabhupada translated two of them. One is known as Nectar of Devotion and the other is known as Nectar of Instruction. Prabhupada said that Nectar of Devotion is a law book of the Krishna consciousness movement. So, Rupa and Sanatana were serving the king, but in a meditation wasn't something else. Finally, Rupa Goswami left to the government service. He wanted to leave the service earlier, but Lord Chaitanya told him, no, just go and working. Finally, when he resigned from government service, he had so many gold coins that the whole boat was full of gold coins. And he distributed his wealth in a very exemplary manner. He gave half his wealth to the brahmanas, 25% he kept for his relatives, and 25% for future emergencies. Sanatana Goswami, his brother, Sanatana was the older brother of Rupa Goswami. His heart was also in his serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami was instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to do the following. Go to Vrindavan and inspire the construction of temples. To write books presenting the philosophy of devotional service. And to identify places where the Lord had performed his pastimes. Sanatana Goswami did not go to work for 1 month. He was studying the Srimad Bhagavatam with 30 brahmanas. The king was worried, what's happened to Sanatana? When the king was always going traveling, conquering other kings, and he left the whole management of the kingdom in the hands of Rupa and Sanatana. So just like if you lose a good assistant, you feel very bad. So the king was feeling very bad. The king told his doctor, go and see what's wrong with Sanatana. The doctor came. These days, if somebody wants to come to your house, he rings the bell, isn't it? And you say, who's it? And if you don't want him to come in, you just don't open the door. Am I right? Before you answer your telephone, cell phone, you see who it is, isn't it? And if it's a bill collector, you don't answer. So, anyway, these facilities are not there. So the doctor came right into Sanatana's house and there he saw Sanatana surrounded by so many brahmanas, stacks of books. And so Sanatana, the doctor went back and said, sir, to me Sanatana was completely healthy. When I went there, he was just studying the Bhagavatam with the other brahmanas. The king called for Sanatana and said, your brother has proved to be very irresponsible and now you are also acting in the same manner. Please resume your duties. Sanatana said, sir, I can't resume my duties My heart is not there at all. So, what did the king do then? He had him imprisoned. When he was in prison, a letter arrived from his brother Rupa Goswami, who said that, I have left some money with a grocery store. Those days, grocery stores were like bankers. And Sanatana then used this money to get out of the prison. How he got out, we won't discuss. But he used the money to get out of the prison. Sanatana was headed for Varanasi, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing in the house of a devotee called Chandrasekhar. Chandrasekhar had taken his birth in a low-caste family. Like in India now, everybody talks about high-caste, low-caste. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu still stayed in his house because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one of the devotees of the Lord, is high-class. You know, not a devotee, is low-class. So Sanatana Goswami was headed for Varanasi. And on the way, he stopped for a night to take rest at what was like a lodging house. Sanatana was traveling with a servant. The name was?
Ishan.
Ishan was carrying 8 gold coins. And the owner of this lodging had an astrologer at the entrance. And the astrologer would estimate how rich this customer is. And the customer was rich, they would rob him in the night. Highway robbery. So Sanatana was, so the hotel proprietor was told, this man is very rich. So the owner of the hotel was being very hospitable. And you know, if somebody is very sweet with you, then you get suspicious, isn't it? If somebody is always flattering you, somebody is very sweet, then what do you say? He must be wanting something from me. And Sanatana was already trained in diplomacy. So Sanatana said, asked his servant, are you carrying any wealth with you? And Ishan, his servant, said, hesitating, yes, sir, I'm carrying 7 gold coins with me. Why carrying death with you? He lied again. So Sanatana said, no, send him home. So Sanatana took those gold coins and gave them to the owner of the lodging. Sir, I have these gold coins. I'm hiding from the government. Please help me to cross the mountain. The hotel proprietor said, now I cannot take these 7 gold coins from you. I had information that you have 8 gold coins. And I'm going to kill you tonight to take that. But now that you brought the money yourself, I won't take it. Sanatana said, if you don't take it, somebody else will kill me to take it. Whether you take it. So Sanatana headed for Varanasi. And on the way, he stopped to meet his brother-in-law. His name was? Srikant had come to buy horses for the Mahamudan king. He bought 300,000 gold coins to buy. Sanatana met him on the way. And Sanatana was hiding from the government when the Mahamudan king had put him in jail. Why? Just because he was not serving the king. And so he had to hide and go. So Srikanta and Sanatana had grown his beard. Srikanta and Balaram said, "What is this? Growing a beard, you gave up your government job." Anyway, Srikanta was trying to discourage him. But he gave him an expensive chadar to wear. And Sanatana finally arrived in Varanasi. He arrived at the spot where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God. He knew that a great sage has come. So he told Chandrasekhar, "A great soul is standing outside. Go and meet him." And Chandrasekhar came in the window, balcony, was looking for the great soul. But he could not find the great soul. Sanatana was there, but he had a long beard, old clothes. So Chandrasekhar concluded, "Ah, that must be a mullah." He said, "No, I don't see anyone there. I only see one mullah standing outside." Then Lord Chaitanya said, "He's not a mullah, he's a great sage." And he came in, when he came in, Lord Chaitanya personally, what did he do?
Embraced.
Lord Chaitanya could see that Sanatana was wearing a very expensive blanket, chadar, shawl. And this was given to him by whom? So Sanatana could understand. Lord Chaitanya is not happy that he has given me this expensive chadar. So he went to the banks of the Ganges. There was an old Bengali man there with a torn quilt. Sanatana said, "Sir, please take my expensive blanket and give me a torn quilt." The man said, "Are you mad? Are you making fun of me?" He said, "No." So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him, dead, in which he was using torn quilt instead of an expensive chadar, he was very happy. He said, "A good physician doesn't cure a disease, let the cause remain." In other words, a sannyasi or one in a renounced order should wear very simple clothes, ordinary clothes, and lead an ordinary life. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives Sanatana Goswami many instructions. He explains on the devotional path, we should accept what is favorable for spiritual advancement and reject what is unfavorable. So I imagine everyone here has some interest in spiritual life. Is that true?
Yes.
If we didn't have interest in spiritual life, would you be here?
No.
Or you came with the Hari Darshan, the pressure on you all to come. We didn't put pressure, did you?
No.
So you came because you have an interest in spiritual life. Some of you may have more interest and some may have less. But you all have interest. Now, what does interest in spiritual life mean? You acknowledge, yes, I must follow the laws of God. So on the spiritual path, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, we should accept everything favorable for spiritual advancement and reject everything unfavorable. Just like a businessman. A businessman will accept transaction only if it is going to give him profit, isn't it? Not if it is going to give him a loss. So what is favorable for spiritual advancement? We make this interactive now. You know what is interactive? What it means? What are some of the items favorable for spiritual advancement? I want the audience to speak.
Chanting.
Who said chanting? Good. Chanting Hare Krishna. What else? Quick. I had to be walking to Bodhi, that's smart.
Reading Bhagavad Gita.
Reading Bhagavad Gita, compiled by Vyasa Dev. Good. What else?
Sankirtan.
Sankirtan, very good.
Serving devotees.
Very good, serving devotees. What else?
Offering.
Eating Bodhi Prasad. Okay, very good. What else?
Listening lectures.
Okay, shall we know?
Worshipping
who?
Deity worship.
Okay, what else?
Surrendering to Krishna.
Okay, very good. Surrendering to Krishna. What else?
I'll always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna.
Very good. What else is fair to her?
Asking for more service.
Okay. Being enthusiastic. Yes, very good. What else? Being determined. I must serve Krishna, it doesn't matter what may happen. Not that something happened, we say, why did this happen to me? I'm a devotee, nothing is going wrong. Sometimes people think, I become a devotee, so everything I touch must turn into gold. That's not the fact. Okay. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, accept everything favorable spiritual advancement. And then he said, reject what is unfavorable. So what are some items that you should reject? Amongst all the things you said favorable, one thing you forgot to say, all of you. What do you want to know? Sadhu Sangha. Stay in devotee association. Without devotee association, spiritual life is almost impossible. So we should mold our life in such a way that we can regularly associate with devotees. Now, let's go to the opposite. Lord Chaitanya said, reject what is unfavorable for spiritual advancement. So what is unfavorable for spiritual advancement?
Watching movies.
Good. Watching Hindi movies.
Collecting too much stuff, like money, property.
Watching Bollywood and Hollywood movies. Okay, good.
Prajalpa.
Very good.
Being greedy.
Atyahara, very good.
Being greedy.
Gossiping. Okay. Being, what did you say?
Greedy
for what?
For
material things.
Yeah.
You can be greedy for Krishna. I want everyone to be made with mom and walking to get a book of Bhagavad Gita. Okay, being greedy. What else?
Eating too much.
Eating too much. Okay, good. You got a renovation, man. What else?
Not following regular principles.
Very good.
Sleeping too much.
Huh? Okay, what else?
Association of non-devotees.
Association of non-devotees. Very good. What else? Not chanting your rounds, not reading,
or eating prasad,
or not eating prasad. What else? What else is unbearable?
Forgetting Krishna.
Okay, very good. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami. Accept what is favorable and reject what is unfavorable. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu summarized his vast teaching into five main points, which are, first one was Sadhu Sangha. Stay in devotee association. Birds of the same feather flock together. A man is known by the company he keeps. So stay in devotee association. If you stay in devotee association, you'll hear the glories of the holy name, isn't it? So, chant Hare Krishna. Then, hear the Shiva's Bhagavatam. Vyasadeva compiled the Bhagavatam. That was the pure devotional service. Then, what's the next one? Worship the deity with faith and reverence. This deity is none other from the Lord. Vishnathing, it is just a murti of Brahma. Here is God manifesting himself as a deity. So worship the deity with faith. What's the last one? Preside in a dham or make the atmosphere in your house like a dham so people can remember the Lord. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you follow these points, you'll be able to make spiritual advancement. So our request to everyone assembled here is to please take advantage of this. Chanting Hare Krishna is nothing new. It's there in the Shastra. The holy name is not different from the Lord. Kali Kali Namar Par Krishna Vatar. In Kali Yuga, the Lord descends in His holy name. So please chant. Sometimes we keep on begging people, chant, chant, chant. And they say, chant, chant, chant. If we chant, we are the gainers. And if we don't chant, we are the losers. Time and tide wait for no one. Does time and tide wait for us, sir? You tell the clock, move slow, you're moving too fast. Will it move slow? No. Time flies. And we travel for our misery. There's nothing but misery from beginning to end. Birth, death, disease, old age. Do they leave anybody? But that's not it. The misery is caused by the mind, misery is caused by other entities, the material misery is caused by material nature. Adi-devik, adi-bodhi, adi-advik nature. Just like in California. I was in California 2 weeks ago. Severe drought, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You can't water your lawn also. Every 2 months they need water, usually rates are going up. I was in Canada and the prairies. Prairies is where the bulk of Canada's wheat is produced. Severe drought. So drought is there, why? Well, we don't follow the laws of God. In India also many parts of India drought. So when child nature strikes, then the simple activities increase. So in this age of Kali, the Lord has presented a very sublime person and is chanting the holy name of Krishna. So we request everyone to please chant. This chanting of the holy name is not some concoction. This is a natural appeal, cry to the Lord, please engage me in devotional service. So chant Hare Krishna, read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Please understand, if you don't take a spiritual life, you don't follow Krishna's instructions, then what will you be forced to follow? Whom?
Maya.
Maya. Maya is sweet. Sweet in the beginning, bitter at the end. Krishna in the 18th chapter discusses three types of happiness. Happiness and goodness, happiness in passion, happiness in ignorance. The characteristic of happiness and goodness is, in the beginning it is bitter, then it becomes sweet, and when it makes you to self-realization. When you come to spiritual life, we tell you, please chant. In the beginning it's very bitter. Chant! If I chant, then what will happen to my prajalpa? What will happen to my death? But if we do it, in the beginning is bitter, and then when you later it becomes sweet. And happiness and passion, sweet in the beginning, bitter in the end, but you derive of contact of the senses of the sense subjects. Materialistic things are sweet in the beginning, but then they become bitter. So please take to this chanting process. Now in your city of Vivaki, there are regular Bhakti Viksha groups. Take advantage of that. Take advantage of devotee association and perfect your life. Are you ready for that?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
You are slow and refined.
Yes.
Yes.
Everyone understand the English?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So all of you want spiritual life?
Yes.
Are you going to pay a price for it?
Yes.
You say yes, yes, yes. Well, unless you follow Krishna, nothing will happen. Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Pratyaja Mami, come to the world. I will protect you without fail, but on one condition. What is that one condition? Send it to me. Krishna doesn't say, you keep doing your nonsense and I'll protect you. He says, if you pay the premium, then I'll protect you. You get insurance coverage when you pay a premium, but you get without premium. I had a lot of insurance companies in Wisconsin. Am I right? Did the insurance companies give you coverage without paying premium? No. So sending to Krishna means doing what Krishna wants you to do. In the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, Narada Muni said, Yudhishthira Maharaj said, we are simple householders, living at home. Please tell us, how can we make spiritual advancement based on the Vedas? So Narada Muni said, householders, they must engage in livelihood. They must engage in some work or business to earn money. But then they should also offer the results to Krishna and be in spiritual association. Krishna told Arjuna, with your mind and intelligence dedicated to me, fight. So please chant, read, associate, and do your duties also. No problem. Ready for that?
Yes. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
We'll take on questions, so you can think about your questions in the meantime.
Pariksha, I think we are getting late also. And Maharaj from Pochir, Srila Gopal Maharaj, Gopal Maharaj talked about Srila Prabhupada, and especially ISKCON, 50 years ago, Srila Prabhupada came from India here. And Maharaj also talking something about Srila Prabhupada. So in brief, I also remember while Maharaj was talking about Srila Prabhupada, small, very pastime. We know that Srila Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj first time in 1922. And Srila Prabhupada got formal initiation 1933, beginning of 1933. Between also Srila Prabhupada had met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj many times, though he had not accepted formal initiation. So one time Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj organized one Brajmandal Parikarma. It was exactly Kartik 1932. That time Srila Prabhupada was there in Allahabad, was managing a pharmacy. So since Guru Maharaj, though Srila Prabhupada had not accepted, not taken formal initiation, but he had accepted Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj as a guru. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj was doing parikarma. Record said that more than 1200 devotees, approximately 1500 devotees were walking with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj in 12 forest of Braj, Vrindavan. And then Srila Prabhupada from Allahabad, we are hearing the Guru Maharaj doing parikarma. So he also wondered, Srila Prabhupada came to join Parikarma. It is described Prabhupada came by train from Allahabad to Mathura station. And from Mathura he took a tanga, horse cart. That time this was the most convenient transportation. So from Mathura, that particular day, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj went to Kosi, one village Kosi. It is approximate 40 kilometers, 35-40 kilometers away. Prabhupada took the tanga, horse cart, and came join Brajmandal Parikarma with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. Next day morning, announcement was made that from Kosi, there is another place of pilgrimage, pastime place of Krishna, the Shesh Sai. Village is still there, village. Self-manifested deity of Garbhodakshai Vishnu is there. And personally established with Vajranath, great grandson of Krishna. So in morning time, announcement was made that main group, every devotee will not go to Shesh Sai. However, whosoever likes to go, their one group will go there and you can go visit Shesh Sai, take darshan of deity, and by evening they will return. The devotee who could not walk, they are troublesome going 11-12 kilometers and coming back by walk barefoot. So Bhakti Sri Prabhupada heard this announcement in morning. The Prabhupada was to decide, he has to take decision whether he should go take darshan of deity, self-manifested important deity in Vrindavan, or he should remain with party. Because also announced, part of announcement was the whosoever will stay here in Kosi, in the camp, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj will speak, which is some Krishna Katha there. So Prabhupada decided to stay there. Prabhupada did not go to Kosi, rather he decided that I should hear. And he heard from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. The hearing about Krishna is one of the most important aspects. If we are really interested to make some substantial progress in spiritual life, if we want to revive our Krishna consciousness, if we want to revive our dormant spontaneous attraction for Krishna, then hearing is one of the most important aspects. Hearing and sthravan and kirtan. So Prabhupada was interested for hearing. Prabhupada was known when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj has recognized Prabhupada, because Prabhupada was very attentively hearing classes of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. So here when Maharaj was speaking, that got our luxury of my fortune that we heard from a pure devotee directly connected with Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj was talking about Srila Prabhupada and about Sanatana Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very, very important. We must develop a habit when anyone speaks about Krishna, we must hear very attentively. When we hear attentively, our spontaneous attraction for Krishna, which is in dormant condition, it becomes manifested. So here I just stop. You have heard Maharaj very attentively. Thank you for that, your attention. Hare Krishna.
Any questions? No questions?
Yes.
Yes. This is Aditya. I introduce to you the members of my team, Prabhupada Aditya. He's a high school student in Baltimore. Which grade are you in now? 11th grade. But one good thing about him is he chants 16 rounds every day. and he had been chanting for 5 years. The parents are both initiated devotees. So if he can chant, why can't you chant? You girls chant? You all chant? How many rounds? So Aditya, you want to tell us how you chant 16? How do you find time to chant 16? So here is a case study.
I usually wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I finish my rounds after Mangal Arati, which ends at about 5:30. And so 5:30 to 7 o'clock, I finish my rounds and then I start preparing for school afterwards.
You get good grades in school?
Yes, Maharaj.
What type of grades do you get?
A's.
A's. Yes, so he gets A's. Well, we get A's. And Prati chants 16 rounds a day. So if he can do it, all of you can do it, isn't it? Okay, what's your question?
You said when you were mentioning how we have to worship the deities, that we have to worship them with reverence. How do you worship deities with reverence?
Lord Chaitanya said, with faith and reverence. Reverence means respect. We should understand, here is God manifested as a deity. We should be respectful. I was reading the Prabhupada's Purport where he says, there is no difference between a deity and a Lord in Vaikuntha. So we should understand, here is God. Not that, this is some statue. More questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Well, you are just discussing that we need to eat only prasadam always, but sometime, you know, when you go out, you know, so how to deal with those situations? I mean, you can't say no to them or...
You go out on business, you mean?
Some office meeting or something like that.
So try and eat prasad as much as you can. Sometimes you may have to go out with a client or... Then try eating fruit and mentally offer it. Try eating prasad as much as you can. Sometimes if you are stuck in a very difficult position, then you can tell them, I like eating fruits, I'm a fruitarian. I want a fruit and yogurt and juices. In America, you get fruits everywhere, juices everywhere. Yogurt everywhere, cheese everywhere, isn't it?
Yes,
sir. Just order that. Just like you. Tell them I'm a vegetarian vegan. You know you have the vegans? You know what's a vegan?
Yes,
sir. In America, it's... No questions? Yes, sir.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You talked about Prabhupada writing, bringing the books from India. He brought the Canto 1. So did he write the rest of the cantos after coming to America?
Yeah. First canto, he translated and published in India. Of course, after he came to the West, it was republished again. But the other volumes, he translated after he came to the West. From 2nd canto till 10th canto part 2. And then the others were translated after his departure from the planet.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Question? Okay.
What is more powerful, chanting or kirtan?
Chanting or kirtan? Both are powerful, but japa is more powerful. Sometimes you see youngsters, they like doing kirtan, but they don't know japa. Japa is very important. Any more questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, which one is the first temple built by Srila Prabhupada in the US?
I said that in the lecture. In our second avenue. In New York. Any more questions? No more questions? Yes.
Thank you for coming to Milwaukee. Yes. I wanted to know, how did you meet Srila Prabhupada?
You met Srila
Prabhupada. Did I meet Prabhupada? It's a long story. Anyway. It's very simple. I came to Canada in February 1966. I started in France, then I came here figuring out what to do. And then I saw Canadian High Commission. So I just went in there and filled in the immigration form. And within 1 month they gave me immigration for Canada and paid my ticket. So I came to Montreal and then I was in Toronto. When I was in Toronto, I went to see Expo in 1967, September in Montreal. And someone told me, some American hippies have opened a temple here. So I went over there, wrote my name in the visitor's book, and came back to Toronto. This was 67. And then they started writing to me every month, asking for donations, inviting me to the Kirtan program. Then in May I got a letter saying, our Guruji is coming, please come and meet him. So I met Prabhupada in June in 68. June 1st. Prabhupada came to Montreal, Canada, on June 1st, 1968. He stayed for 3 months. And at that time Prabhupada was trying to get his green card for America. But he had to stay out of America. So that's where I intensively associated. Any other questions?
Also, yes. What were the books that you translated for Prabhupada? Many different languages, right?
I didn't translate. I didn't translate any book. My job is to print and publish the books and help distribute the books. The books were translated by Prabhupada himself. We were just the publishers.
Yes. What did you like most about Prabhupada?
Everything about Prabhupada was transcendental. He was very gentle. But he was also very strict. When he saw that you were wasting Krishna's energy and not doing something intelligently, he would chastise us. But Prabhupada was basically a pure devotee who was giving us a pure message. He did not add anything, minus anything. He did not care if nobody would follow him. But he wanted to present the pure message. And because of his purity, the movement is still expanding. When Prabhupada left the planet in November 1977, ISKCON had about 130 temples. Now there are more than 500 temples. Now his books are in every language of the world. Here the movement is expanding. Usually, historically, after the final acharya leaves, everything collapses. But in ISKCON, nothing has collapsed. Because Prabhupada said, if you follow Krishna, follow my path, everything will be okay. The proper given the system of management is the Gauranga GBC body, etc. And he set up such a subtle system, and that as long as we follow it, success will be there. Prabhupada started the movement with just 40 rupees. Prabhupada was singing to the best. There was only 40 rupees in his pocket. 40 rupees those days was equal to $8. He left it with $8 in his pocket. That's all. But he had faith that Krishna will help. So once Prabhupada was giving a press conference in Australia, and someone said, if your Krishna consciousness is so perfect, why isn't the hall fully packed? And Prabhupada said, when you're selling diamonds, only few will buy. But when you're selling broken cut glass, thousands of fools will buy. So in Krishna consciousness, you're getting the real diamond. So we're never going to have people gate crashing like they do in a liquor shop. But a very fortunate will take that.
And now in India we have more than 130 temples. And thousands of people are taking to it all over the world. Prabhupada re-established the true glory of the Vedic culture. The Vedic culture was getting lost. Any other question? Yes.
What a devotee should see while he is in the process of chanting, what transformation he can see within himself?
When you're chanting, best to listen to the chant. It's just like prasad is consumed through the mouth. Spiritual prasad is consumed through the ears. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, just hear what you're chanting. And if you hear attentively what you're chanting, the holy name is not different from the Lord. The holy name and the Lord are identical. So when you chant, you should hear what you're chanting. And that hearing will cleanse the heart. Yes, sir.
For human life, we have two tracks, basically.
I'm sorry, for human life?
Yeah. We have two tracks. One is spiritual, another one is material, right? Uh-huh. So how we can bridge between these two tracks?
Very easy. Narada Muni said, as I said, earn your livelihood. To earn your livelihood, to maintain your family, do a job. But then the results you get, don't say, I'm going to enjoy it. Give some to Krishna also. And stay in spiritual association. So they tell you the right thing. Chant Hare Krishna, read, and do your work. Krishna did tell Arjuna, Arjuna, now you retire from the battlefield. Krishna said, with your mind and intelligence dedicated to me, fight. And if you don't be Krishna conscious, then what is the alternative? You will listen to your senses. Then we smoke, drink, eat meat, whatever, go to parties, go to movies, isn't it? So that's not going to give you your pleasure. And I have some more piece of good news for you. If you become Krishna conscious, you also save a lot of money. Because bad habits cost money. I've had so many devotees who tell me, since Maharaj became devotees, I have a big family man in Delhi tell me, since he became a devotee, my expenses have gone to half. I said, why? He said, now I only go home, home to office, office to temple. Previously I would go to clubs, this, that, spend so much money. So even from an economic standpoint, you have to gain. Sometimes people say, oh, why didn't you tell me that first? So from all angles, you're a gainer. Chanting Hare Krishna, nobody will say it is bogus, isn't it? Isn't it? Krishna is the supreme. Nobody will say it is bogus. Bhagavad Gita, nobody will say it is bogus. So we don't say anything that's not real. And the rules we follow, no meat, fish or eggs, no intoxication, these rules are for your betterment. And even a doctor will tell you, meat eating, etc., is bad for health. Intoxication is bad for health. Gambling is bad for health. Illicit sex is bad. So there's nothing that we say is wrong. It's materially right, spiritually right. Okay, any more questions? Yes.
We talked about nectar of instruction, where Atyahara was also mentioned. Now, isn't collecting more than required also Atyahara, basically, you know, like collecting material things or
even... Well, the point is, I understand your question. The point is, we should not make such ambitious goals that all your time goes away in just endeavoring to earn money. earn money, but now I want a new car every 2 years. I want a bigger home. Our guideline is simple living, high thinking. Live simply, then you don't have to worry too much. You can concentrate on the spiritual life also. But I want this. In America they say, in American English, living up with the Joneses. That means, it's a very old American phrase, which means, I want to be a step ahead of my neighbor. They call it in simple English, rat race. So don't take part in the rat race. Have spiritual life as your top priority.
But where do you stop?
I take direction from Guru and Sadhu. The teachers are there ready to help you. Keep your minimum maintained living standards, and know that you have to do 3 jobs a day to maintain your high standard of living. I knew a man in Washington, he used to do 3-4 jobs a day. He said, I have so many bills to pay.
One more question, Maharaj. What's your opinion about, like, some people come and say, no, isn't Madhav Seva also Manav Seva, or Manav Seva is also Madhav Seva?
No. Manav Seva is not Madhav Seva. If you really want to do Manav Seva, tell people how to stop sinning. Let's take for example, I'm a rich man, I do eye operations, something which is very common in India. Like many rich people will get mass marriage, get poor people married, give them free money. Let's say I run a charitable hospital, and you're a diseased man, you come to my hospital, and I rejuvenate you. But after your rejuvenation, if you're going to go and again do nonsense activities, eat meat, drink, do illicit sex. So then what have you done? By your being recovering, I've endangered you more. Because the more nonsense you do, the more anti-religious activities you do, the more karma you carry. Karma is just like you have a credit limit in a business. The bank says, okay, you have $1 million overdraft. So you can write checks to that amount. Krishna has given us unlimited overdraft facility. You can go on sending as much as you want, but then you have to pay for it all. So if I tell the person, stop these activities, these are bad for you spiritually, bad for you materially, then I'm a real friend. There's somebody who, just like in New York in the Bowery where Prabhupada used to preach. You walk in the Bowery, people give donation to drunkards. You haven't walked it for a few years, but you walk, the drunkard will put, give me $1 for I want to buy a beer. So many Americans give them money. But what's the use? When I give them knowledge by which people can stop sinning. That's higher charity, isn't it? So we can ask them. You can ask 10 more questions, we are ready.
If everybody will go in just a spiritual direction, so is that will not stop our progress? For example, if we have 100 people and 99 people will go just in spiritual direction.
Somebody asked Prabhupada this question once. Somebody asked Prabhupada, if everybody becomes Krishna conscious, then what will happen to society? Prabhupada, first of all, everyone will not become Krishna conscious. And everyone does become Krishna conscious, society will progress. Just like in Satyayuga and Tretayuga, everybody was God conscious. We are not against progress. We are against misuse of progress. We are not against technology. I'm speaking to you with the help of technology. I came here with the help of technology. You play. of Detroit. So we use technology, but technology should not be misused. Just like now you have these smartphones. So most devotees have smartphones, have all the Prabhupada books in the smartphone. So they keep reading and referring to. But this smartphone is also an access to pornography and other vulgar stuff. So it's for us to decide how we want to use it, correctly or incorrectly. So make progress, but don't misuse progress. What is happening today is people are misusing progress.
But that is a user, right? But who is inventing that? Maybe he doesn't have a time to do this ritual, right? For example, if I'm inventor of this iPhone, I don't have time to chant Hare Krishna because I have to invest so much time for inventing this.
But if we chant Hare Krishna, what will take you 100 hours will take you 80 hours. As it is said, by the mercy of the Lord, difficult things become easy. Without His mercy, easy things become difficult. So if we chant Hare Krishna, your lifestyle will become more controlled, more disciplined, and more on the right path. You can never be a loser in chanting the names of the Lord. Whereas if you don't chant, you are a loser. And how long does this life going to last? It's all short term, isn't it? Chanting is the best investment. You know, everyone's looking at the stock market. That's a good investment to make. The best investment is chanting. But I think this is an asset that will go with you. Okay? Yes. Yes.
Yeah, what is
my question is...
You want the mic?
No. Why do we lose our interest in chanting and how do we get it back?
Why do we lose? Good question. You lose your interest in chanting due to many factors. One is too much association with non-devotees. We associate too much with non-devotees. Or we get too engrossed in material activities. And then our priority changes. Our priority becomes a material goal. Secondly, you lose interest when you stop chanting. When you reduce your chanting or stop chanting, then the interest goes away also. But the main thing is, association. Association is in various ways. Sometimes you physically associate with non-devotees. Then you mentally associate with non-Krishna conscious activities. And then that makes you believe. The chanting is not so important. Well, look at the other people. They are happy, they are not chanting. So many factors. If we are thinking, no, this is my most important duty. Vyasadeva has instructed this. The gurus have instructed this. Prabhupada has instructed this. And then you do it, then the chanting will go on. For everything in life, you have to make an effort. Nothing comes without effort, isn't it? So even for chanting, you have to make an effort. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, one of the factors necessary is determination. Okay? Behind you.
Maharaj, I was going to ask you, how do we encourage our kids to chant more or...
Good question. How old are the kids? You can try your best. Keep trying. And kids get influenced by parents' lifestyle. In material society, they say the tomb brings the child up. Parents leave their kids to watch TV. So we try our best to educate our kids about the importance of chanting. And that's all we can do. keep trying. Some make it, some don't, like this young man. He says, he's been chanting 16 now for 6 months. Or 6 years. So some make it, some don't make it, but keep trying. Yes.
Maharaj, basically, you know, how to determine, you know, the attributes or parameters for non-devotee? Is it just the person who is just chanting?
I'm sorry, can you repeat?
How to find out, you know, how to determine, okay, that person is non-devotee? Is it because he's chanting or something, he's got a temple or, you know, I mean, again, our intention should be, you know.
See, to be a devotee of the Lord is a very big thing. We are what I call aspiring devotees. That's like if you enter a medical school, it doesn't mean that you become a doctor overnight. All it means is you go on studying, passing the exams every year, do your internship, and eventually you'll become a doctor. So just while I'm chanting Hare Krishna doesn't mean I become a great devotee. This is only the beginning. And as we progress, as we become more and more exemplary, we'll be more effective. So we should not think, just because that person has a bead bag now, he'll become a devotee. I would say we are trying to become devotees. Okay, for a good question answer session. Any more questions?
Master, it's okay, you can explain tomorrow more about gambling and Prabhupada had told about gambling and intoxication. So not your drinking, drinking or playing gambling, but it has a deep meaning. So I just want to know what that deep meaning is, gambling and intoxication.
Well, gambling, intoxication, these things take away your good habits. And gambling is usually associated with also other vices, like liquor, etc. So therefore we don't gamble.
I heard some Prabhu said gambling means you don't know what your outsource. Let's say I'm watching a TV. I don't know what's the outsource of it. It's just entertainment. But when you don't know your outsource, it's a gambling.
No, gambling is your... Gambling is one of the vices in society. And there are various types of gambling. So, if you buy a building and think that you're going to keep selling it off later when the price goes up, that's a business investment. If you're going to a casino or playing with cards or doing other types of these activities, that is gambling. And gambling is usually associated with drinking and other vices.
But is to assist her question, is watching TV gambling with your time?
No, watching TV is not good for the following reason. If you're watching an educational program, when your children are watching an educational program, it's different. Watching TV, you watch, what you watch, you also do. In the story in the Bhagavatam, there was a devotee called Ajamil. He was brought in a Brahminical family. Very cultured. He'd gone to the forest to bring fruits and flowers for puja. But when he was coming back, he saw a prostitute embracing her lover. They were just kissing, embracing, and they were both drunk. He got very attracted to this woman. He started meditating on that woman. He eventually gave up his wife, took that woman as a servant, then eventually married her. And how all this started from? Just by seeing. He saw something obscene, and then he started meditating on it. So what we see influences our lifestyle. And what is TV today for love? It's for love, crime and sex. You follow? So when you see all this, then you feel like doing what you do. Like, it's an open fact that crime rates have gone up because children see violence on the screen. That's one of the reasons. What you see, you do.
It's related to intoxication, that's what I read. That it's not, it intoxicates your mind and thoughts, and then you...
What do you see?
The TV, what you see on TV.
Yes, of course on TV if you're seeing a Ramayana or something nice, it's a different thing. But by and large...
Non-spiritual, I was talking about non-spiritual.
Yeah, yeah. Any more questions? I'm glad you all had a lot of questions.
Maharaj, one last question. Is it okay to offer outside food and eat as a prasadam? I mean sweet.
You mean fruits and...
Sweet.
Yes, it is. If you are in a situation... Like our devotees also have to do jobs. And jobs sometimes they have to socialize. So socialize to the extent necessary, but do it to whatever is practical. Yes, sir.
So, yeah, you were talking about like this TV or smartphone or technology. Should we have this or no?
No, have it.
Have it. So it's like you can use it, good of it. You can use
don't it. Misuse it.
Don't misuse it. That goes back to what you were saying about manaseva. If you are doing mana seva and you really need, you help somebody to get better, you did your part. You did the good part.
No, there's a difference. I may help someone recover, but that charity is not the same as when I educated him, as when I educated him not to do the wrong activity.
Yeah, but that's the next part of it. But like if you get somebody and get better, you did your part and can you do the next part of educating that person?
But if you want to do that, just like we do a lot of food distribution around the world. But we just don't distribute food, we distribute prasad. So the hungry man, when he eats it, he's getting punya, getting prasad. So do it in such a way that you're also giving him knowledge how to stop sinful activities.
And like by doing the mano seva, somebody is getting ready for these mano to do the mano seva because they are not at that
level. We explain to them, if you can do mano seva and mano seva at the same time, fine. But if you can only do one, then don't do the other. That's right. So how many of you are chanting? All of you are chanting Hare Krishna?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay. I better stop here. Any more questions? Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for listening to His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. For more information, please visit gkgoswami.com.